Welcome to the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. And if you're new, welcome to the Jazz Treasury, where it's our mission to share the wonderful world of jazz, the roots of jazz from its earliest times. Today, in this episode, and that track you just heard, the first track right off the bat, was Devil's Holiday. Our featured musician on this episode is Benny Carter. And you just listened to the track called Devil's Holiday. And Devil's Holiday was recorded in 1933, and it featured Benny Carter and his orchestra with Eddie Mallory and Bill Dillard and Dick Clark on trumpets, J.C. Higginbotham, Fred Robinson, Keg Johnson on trombones, Benny Carter on clarinet, alto, and directing, Wayman Carter on alto sax and flute, Glenn Pock on alto sax, Johnny Russell on tenor, Teddy Wilson on piano here, Lawrence Lucy on guitar, Ernest Hill on bass, and Sid Catlett on the drums, recorded in New York City in 1933. Who was Benny Carter? Listening to just about any of Benny Carter's alto solos would be enough to tell you his playing was world class, but this is not the limit of his talent. He was equally proficient on clarinet or trumpet and was a major bandleader and arranger. His consummate ability in all his chosen fields earned him the nickname the Cat with Nine Lives, and the many hundreds of recordings that document his versatile playing and writing confirm him as a master of American music. Benny Lester Carter was born in the Bronx in 1907 and grew up in the district known as San Juan Hill, and there he received a basic grounding in playing the piano from his mother, Sadie Bennett Carter. His sisters also received a similar training. His mother's side of the family, the Bennetts, were musical. One of Benny's cousins was the legendary trumpeter Cuban Bennett, who was a fearsome opponent at New York's many jam sessions in the 1920s. Cuban Bennett was famed for playing solos of great complexity and beauty, a skill which passed to his young cousin. Indeed, young Benny Carter might quite easily have been nothing more than a trumpeter from the start, without ever trying the saxophone. The Ellington Band's trumpeter, Bubber Miley, was a near neighbor of the Carter family and helped to find the young boy his first instrument, a second-hand trumpet. Around the time he was starting out on trumpet, however, Carter heard discs by Chicagoan saxophonist Frankie Trumbauer, who specialized on an obscure cousin of the tenor known as the C melody saxophone. Friends told Benny that this was an easier instrument to master than the trumpet, so Carter got hold of one and soon became proficient, having taken lessons from a number of highly regarded New York figures, including multi-instrumentalist Gene Mickle. He soon mastered the alto sax as well. He was eventually able to play almost all the saxophone family, and this became his preferred instrument. Let's listen to a track, another track from Benny. This one's called These Foolish Things. That's a classic, classic standard. These Foolish Things, and this is once again Benny Carter and his orchestra, featuring Benny Carter on trumpet, clarinet, alto sax, and directing, Max Goldberg and Tommy McQuater, and Duncan White on trumpet, Teddy Heath and Bill Mulroney on trombones, Andy McDevitt on clarinet and alto, E.O. Pogson on alto, Buddy Featherstonhaugh on tenor, Pat Dodd on piano, George Elliott on guitar, Al Burke on bass, and Ronnie Gubertini on drums. And this one's in London, by the way, recorded in 1936. Let's listen to These Foolish Things by Benny Carter and his orchestra on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. In his mid-teens, Benny briefly went on the road. Playing with his cousin, Cuban Bennett, in Billy Page's band, he ended up in Pittsburgh playing baritone sax for the young Earl Hines, then worked with pianist Willie the Lion Smith in New York. At the age of 18, he decided to move to Columbus, Ohio, where bandleader Fletcher Henderson's brother, Horace, fronted one of the brightest and best college bands in the USA at Wilberforce University. In this band, Benny, who was specializing on alto and arranging, found himself alongside a number of future stars, including one who would be a lifelong friend, cornetist Rex Stewart. Benny Carter drilled the Collegians until they were note-perfect on their set-piece arrangements and came up with the idea of having the band bob up and down in rhythm on King Porter Stomp. Their precision playing and faultless movements won them a cup, which was one of the first of many honors that Benny received for his musicianship and organizational skills. The architect of much of Henderson's sound was altoist and arranger Don Redman. He became something of a role model for Benny, who soon found himself following in Redman's footsteps in providing bands with charts. And before long, Carter moved on to McKinney's Cotton Pickers, once more arriving in the wake of Redman, who had enhanced his reputation by drilling the Detroit-based band to perfection. In 1935, he went to Paris to join the band led by reed player Willie Lewis, who had become a popular musician in Europe. Carter had experienced for himself the celebrity status afforded to black American musicians in Europe when touring in the late 1920s with Sam Wooding's Revue and Orchestra. Carter played in Paris and in Cannes for about 9 months and in due course decided to go to England, where critic and author Leonard Feather had helped find a job for him with Henry Hall and the BBC Dance Orchestra. While with Hall, he was restricted to arranging. Work permits were hard to get for U.S. musicians, so he was rarely heard in public. And Carter cut 27 sighs in Britain alone, as well as others in Holland, France, and Scandinavia. Okay, time for another track. Let's listen to Symphony in Riffs. And Symphony and Riffs has the same personnel as Devil's Holiday. Symphony and Riffs, Benny Carter, and this was written by Benny Carter. And by the way, this was also recorded in 1933 in New York City. Thank you. Symphony and Riffs, Benny Carter. Later in 1938, Carter returned to New York. For the next few years, he spent most of his time leading a series of big bands and playing on numerous recording sessions, either under his own name or as a freelance. One of Benny's star musicians in 1940 was trumpeter Bill Coleman, who had also been in Europe. He played in Benny's band at the Golden Gate Ballroom, at the Savoy, and out of the city and an amusement park on Coney Island. Coleman remembers that even at this late stage in the swing era, there would sometimes be battles of bands between Benny's group and Coleman Hawkins' orchestra, with the two saxophonists slugging it out for the soloist honors. In his autobiography, Dizzy Gillespie claimed that Carter only occasionally played trumpet in their few months together, but reviews suggest Carter featured the instrument frequently and that his powers of persuasion kept Dizzy in a job. The management were not sure they liked Gillespie's bop experiments, and during this time, Carter also made a film with Maxine Sullivan. When his residency was over, he went back out on tour with a big band. And various Carter lineups from this period of time made records, but his bands enjoyed varying degrees of success, and it was not until he relocated to California in 1945 that he was able to found a successful band of some longevity. At various times, its lineup included Miles Davis, Dexter Gordon, and arranger Gerald Wilson. If you're new to jazz, tune in to Miles Davis and Dexter Gordon, please. Google that and check it out. At around the same time, Carter was beginning to make a name as the first significant black arranger in Hollywood. His first significant film work, other than short pieces, came in 1943 in the all-star black movie Stormy Weather. In it, he played in Fats Waller's band, as well as writing and arranging several of the original songs featured in the film. At first, Benny mainly wrote for singers and supplemented his film studio work with arrangements for a string of albums for major vocalists from Peggy Lee and Sarah Vaughan to Louis Armstrong and Ray Charles. He virtually stopped playing and graduated to writing full-length backing scores to TV shows and films. He became a punctual and professional writer, under stress, but like his fellow film composer, Shorty Rogers, he had had enough of it by the 1970s when he resumed his playing career. Yeah, he had a long career, didn't he? Some more music, please. When Lights Are Low, and this was written by Benny Carter, and this one has quite the orchestra. In fact, he's in the Lionel Hampton Orchestra right here, featuring Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet, Benny Carter on alto, Coleman Hawkins, Ben Webster, and Chu Berry on tenor saxophones, Clyde Hart on piano, Lionel Hampton on vibraphone and directing, Charlie Christian on guitar, Milt Hinton on bass, and Cozy Cole on drums. 1939, right there, folks, that is a band full of all-stars. Let's listen to When Lights Are Low, featuring Benny Carter, with Lionel Hampton and his orchestra on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you.
listening to the Jazz Treasury Podcast with Rich Sylvester.
When lights are low, Benny Carter playing with Lionel Hampton's band there. So there had been hints as early as the 1952 Norman Grant's jam sessions, Funky Blues, on which Carter outplayed both Charlie Parker and Johnny Hodges, that Benny would become one of the greatest alto players. Any lingering doubt was dispelled by the tremendous consistency and form he brought to all his live concerts and recordings from the 1970s. He dug out his trumpet for a few concerts, but mainly charmed his listeners everywhere with his fluent and melodious performances on alto and the extraordinary inventiveness of his writing and soloing. He spent time in London at Soho's Pizza Express, where English audiences heard him more regularly than his 1930s visit, and began to tour all over Europe and to Japan, always traveling first class, yet never lost touch with his heritage. Like many players of his generation, Benny became a major recording artist again for entrepreneur Norman Grant's on the Pablo label in the 1970s, 1980s. Part of the exposure guaranteed by Pablo was at the highest profile international festivals, and Benny was welcomed by a new generation of fans, many of them not even born during his heyday in the 1930s and 40s. By 1982, he had already enjoyed a professional life far longer than that of most musicians, and his career was celebrated in a massive two-volume biography, Benny Carter, A Life in American Music by E. and M. Berger. He received a National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences Lifetime Achievement Award in 1987, and in 1989 was the subject of a film, Symphony in Riffs. Wow, what a life, huh? Talk about some musicianship. Okay, another track. How about Moppin' and Boppin'? Moppin' and Boppin'. This looks like a Fats Waller and Benny Carter tune. Los Angeles, 1943. And it does feature Fats Waller and his rhythm, with Benny Carter on trumpet, Alton Moore on trombone, Gene Porter on clarinet and tenor, Fats Waller on piano, Irving Ashby on guitar, Slam Stewart on bass, Zuddy Singleton on drums, recorded in Los Angeles, 1943, Moppin' and Boppin'.
You want some more of that mess? Well, here it is. Zuddy, take over. Pour it on them. Thank you.
That's Moppin' and Boppin'. That's Waller and his orchestra with Benny Carter, featured on the trumpet there. The story goes that when Benny Carter felt slightly off color at the age of 82, he went to his doctor, who could not believe from his fit and strong appearance that Benny was not about 25 years younger, and sent him home with a report that nothing was wrong with him. With a youthful energy and grace that always belied his age, Carter continued to work at a considerable pace for much of the late 1980s and 1990s, writing new scores and playing on many records, his own and with other leaders. He signed a new contract to record for the Music Masters label on his 80th birthday, an age when most leaders have more than begun to contemplate retirement, and went on to produce a string of exceptional albums, which culminated on the Grammy Awards he won for his 1992 album, Harlem Renaissance, and for the outstanding solo on Prelude to a Kiss from his 1994 album, Elegy in Blue. His work on a reunion album with Oscar Peterson and Clark Terry, made as he approached his 90th birthday, is as impeccable as anything from his long career, and he has also made a series of recordings that revisit his early works. His international career only marginally slowed by failing eyesight. The Cat with Nine Lives is truly one of the outstanding figures not only in the history of jazz, but in that of the American music of the 20th century. Benny Carter passed away in 2003. Okay, some recommended listening, people. Benny Carter's output of discs has been prodigious since the late 1920s, and here are a few that you should catch up on. Further Definitions, 1961. Charlie Parker Jam Session, 1952. Central City Sketches, 1987. Harlem Renaissance. That's a winner right there, 1992. Grammy winner, Harlem Renaissance, and Elegy in Blue, 1994. All right, we have one more track to listen to here from the Benny Carter collection, and this is the oldest track we have in our library here. I'd Love It. Well, that's the name of the track. I'd Love It, recorded in 1929 in New York City, and it does have Benny Carter on clarinet and alto, Coleman Hawkins here, with Theodore McCord on clarinet and tenor, Fats Waller on piano. It's with McKinney's Cotton Pickers, as Joe Smith and Sidney DeParis and Leonard Davis on trumpets, Claude Jones on trombone, Don Redman on clarinet, alto sax, baritone sax, and vocals, and who else? David Wilborn on banjo, Billy Teller on tuba, Kaiser Marshall on drums. No bass here. The tuba does that part easier to carry around, I think. Anyway, let's listen to this early track from Benny Carter, and when he was playing in McKinney's Cotton Pickers, doing I'd Love It, New York City, 1929, on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Okay, as you know, I like to sneak in an occasional modern piece. And this is on the record label called ECM. And if you have if you're new to jazz, please look for ECM. They're always pushing the boundaries on jazz. They always have, with a modern bend, ECM Records. And this is 2011, actually recorded in 2009 and 10. It's Matthias Eich, and he plays trumpet. And he plays vibraphone, electric guitar, and double bass. And a great band he put together. This album even features a harp in jazz. I'd like to play you a track from his Scala album. Let's listen to the track called Edinburgh on the Jazz Treasury. Thank you. Well, all right. That's all for this episode of the Jazz Treasury. My name is Rich Sylvester. Thank you so much for tuning in. And please, if you'd like to go to our Facebook page, do that. Like us, share us, make comments, make suggestions, please. And on iTunes, if you could please go to the podcast section and rate, review, and share us again with family and friends. We'd really appreciate that. And thank you so much for keeping the flame of jazz alive. Once again, most of the information and music we get is from the Jazz Greats magazine, put out by the Marshall Cavendish Foundation back in the late 1990s. And some wonderful information, some great tunes. The background music that you hear is by Benny Green, a track called The Folks on the Hill. And that's what we're learning about, people, the folks on the great jazz hill. Next time on the Jazz Treasury, we're going to focus on an instrument, the jazz piano. The piano is the most versatile instrument in jazz. Whether solo, accompanying, or in a band, playing ragtime or boogie-woogie, stride or bebop, sweet or hot, the piano is a voice with a million jazz accents, and its players include many of the music's most creative figures. And we'll hear from people like Jelly Roll Morton, Scott Joplin, Oscar Peterson, Earl Garner, and go on and on. Duke Ellington we've heard from in a previous broadcast, Count Basie we heard from, Earl Hines we heard from, Fats Waller, Bud Powell, Thelonious Monk, and the list goes on and on and on. And some great current pianists as well, as you know, and that does feature Benny Green in our background music. Check his music out. That's all for now, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, enjoy the jazz.